Dear fellow redeemed, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text we will consider today is from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your words are truth. Amen. What do you have? At various points in our life, we may be taking this kind of self-inventory, filling out an application for a job, or applying for a bank loan can make us very much aware of what we have or do not have. As college students, your time to acquire a degree, career, house, or even that new car may still be on the horizon. For a while, you may be thinking about what you don't have rather than what you have. Older folks, like me, may be thinking, how am I going to keep what I have? When retirement accounts are disappearing and job security becomes an issue. But the inventory I want you to take today is a spiritual one. I want you to think about, as a Christian, what do you have? My esteemed seminary classmates in the front row here will say Jesus, and rightfully so. But do we always know what that means? The Bible describes Jesus in numerous ways. We have Jesus as true God and true man. We have Jesus as our Savior, and yet he is also our brother by adoption into God's family through baptism. We hear Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd and also the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible also describes the work of Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king. But in the text for today, we find that Jesus is our great high priest. Maybe we're a little indignant on hearing that, because during this time of Lent, we're very much aware of the corrupt nature of the high priest, Caiaphas. But here, the writer of Hebrews is using Old Testament references to show that Jesus is the Messiah, promised long ago by God. In Jewish temple worship, only the high priest could go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. On this very special day, the priest would sacrifice a bull for his own sins and bring that blood behind the curtain to the very presence of God and sprinkle it on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat of God. Then he would go and cast lots to see which of two goats would be sacrificed for the people. After the sacrifice of the goat for the people, he would return and go behind the Holy of Holies into the Holy of Holies again to sprinkle the blood of that goat for the sins of the people. The last part of the ceremony was laying his hands on the second goat, in which the sins of the people are effectively laid. The goat is removed from their presence, led out into the wilderness, and another past year's sins are gone, forgiven. The Day of Atonement was one of three Jewish ceremonies that all Jews were required to attend every year. From Moses until Jesus, over 1,000 years, these ceremonies continued as a sign of the coming Messiah. Jesus, being a Jew, born under the law, would have gone to Jerusalem to witness a ceremony every year during his life. So you may ask yourself, is Jesus really our high priest? We don't see art depicting Jesus in the stately robe or the jeweled breastplate or the turban with a large gold pendant in the middle. We are much more comfortable with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, where he's out rescuing the sheep rather than sacrificing them. But Jesus was not like the other Jewish high priests. He was sinless. He was not from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah, the line of kings. Jesus never wore the high priest's clothes, and the only sacrifice he made was himself. Jesus, as our high priest, not only brought the sacrifice to God, he was a sacrifice. Jesus, as the Son of God, offered up the sacrifice of his holy life and death for us on the cross once and for all. The writer of Hebrews later says, "And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And so Jesus was offered once to bear the sins of many. Jesus was our substitute. He allowed the sins of the whole world to be placed on him. St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." The Old Testament ceremonial rituals were fulfilled as Jesus hung on that cross and said, "It is finished." The sacrifice was complete when he died, and as we heard yesterday, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. God and man were no longer separated since Jesus had accomplished our salvation. After Jesus' resurrection, he ascended into heaven, into the true Holy of Holies, and there he is still our high priest. How did Jesus become your high priest? Ever since you were baptized into God's family as one of his children, you have Jesus, your high priest. The Holy Spirit created faith in your heart through the means of grace. We still have that sinful nature within us, though, and so in times of temptation, we need Jesus, our high priest. We are often tempted by the devil. When things are going well, we can think that we're better than others. Our pride will puff us up, and we think perhaps we are the best behaved sheep, the strongest vine on that branch that Jesus was talking about, or that surely we are walking the straightest down that narrow path. But the devil is also against us when things aren't going well. And it's our human nature lies to us. Our sinful nature says, "God doesn't care about you. You have to get through these trials and temptations on your own." The comfort for us is found in this passage. Jesus was tempted worse than we were ever tempted, and yet he did not sin. Because one sin is enough to damn us before God, we quickly realize that we need Jesus, our high priest, to intercede on our behalf. As our high priest, Jesus encourages us to pray to him and to call upon him in every trouble. As God's children, he bestows on us his grace and mercy. Daily we receive blessings we don't deserve, and in the midst of our trials and temptations, he carries us through. God, who loved us enough to send his only son, is not going to desert us in this life. God will also not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. His mercy endures forever. Throughout our lives, we need Jesus and his forgiveness as we daily return to our baptism in repentance. We hold fast our confession, and we are strengthened in the word. And in the Lord's Supper, the very body and blood that was sacrificed once and for all is given to us for the forgiveness of our sins. God is gracious to us for Jesus' sake. So in answer to the question, what do you have as a Christian? we can say with surety and confidence that with Jesus, our great high priest, we have everything. And we will quickly come to realize that it will not matter what material blessings God does or does not bless us with, or how successful our life appears to others. All that matters is that we have Jesus, our great high priest. Then, when it's time for us to close our eyes in death, we will be assured that the promise of life eternal is ours, and we shall see that great high priest face to face in heaven. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forevermore. Amen.